What's your reaction to being expelled from the Conservative Party?
Well, I'm very disappointed that the party have leaked this out. As I understand it, confidentiality was required for me to be able to appeal against the unwarranted expulsion from the Conservative Party. I think it's completely spurious, and I've issued a rebuttal document now to the public, which I sent to CCHQ some days ago. I couldn't even get them to respond, despite repeated requests for them to confirm they'd received it. Nothing back from various emails at CCHQ. I do recall that over the so-called offensive tweet, I was suspended within an hour or so. I don't know how they respond to complaints when they never respond to my complaints.
What have they said to you? As far as we're aware, you have been expelled from the Tory party, it says here, after comparing the coronavirus vaccines with the Holocaust. What have they said to you specifically about why you're no longer in the Tories?
Well, that's incorrect. The tweet in question, I was retweeting a world-leading cardiologist and a paper from the from a criminology doctorate of the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. And the quote I retweeted from the cardiologist was that the vaccine rollout was the biggest crime against humanity since the Holocaust. That is neither denying the Holocaust or belittling the Holocaust. It's using the Holocaust as a moment in time and saying that the rollout of the vaccines is the biggest crime against humanity since the Holocaust.
I've got to ask you, is that a flawed and potentially quite offensive comparison? 6 million Jews, at least, amongst other groups as well, died during the Holocaust.
A lot more people than that will be injured.
Comparison.
Well, 25 of the world's leading Jewish doctors and scientists wrote a letter to Number 10 on the 30th of December. It was not initiated by me, but I was sent a copy of it. Number 10, they accused the Prime Minister of falsely accusing me of anti-Semitism, which obviously diminishes anti-Semitism. And they also accused the Prime Minister of seeking to shut down my right to free speech in the House of Commons, which they regarded as a sign of a totalitarian regime, which they find deeply worrying. Now, when challenged, Number 10 said initially they hadn't received that letter. It was then subsequently sent recorded delivery and arrived on the 10th of February. That letter's remained unanswered by Number 10. I also put that into my evidence pack, originally rebutting these allegations against me, and that was never mentioned in the dismissal letter, that they just conveniently ignored 25 of the world's leading Jewish scientists and doctors who defended me.
Do you regret saying it now in the cold light of day, given that you've been expelled?
It's deeply upsetting to be expelled from a party I've served for several decades and campaigned hard for. But I barely recognise the Conservative Party at the moment. We seem to have moved away from being a party that legislates for the people to a party that legislates against the people. Surely I've got the right to free speech, to express the genuine and legitimate concerns of my constituents about the safety and efficacy of experimental vaccines, which were never tested properly. We know there's considerable vaccine harms. They're starting to emerge now. And Patrick, before I spoke out in December, and what urged me to do so was when the government were looking at approving the experimental vaccines for children down to the age of 6 months, to babies. As a result of those speeches I gave in Parliament, the government position has moved in a few months from wanting to vaccinate babies of 6 months. That never happened. Then they moved the position to only over 50s and the immunocompromised in January, for February the 12th. I gave another speech on the 17th of March pointing out how the boosters were the lack of efficacy and the cost of them and the dangers of them. And then it's moved to over 75s, a completely different position that the government were adopting. And I put it to you, there was no one else speaking out. And if that's cost me my political career, Then so be it, quite honestly, Patrick, because if I've saved the life or one child from being injured, that's worth it, isn't it?
Well, what would you say to people, Andrew, who would say that maybe you've overplayed the harms of the vaccines and that maybe you have overstated how experimental they were or how much potential damage that they could cause for people, that basically you've gone a bit OTT?
Well, let's debate it then, Patrick. But every time I get stand up to speak, the Chamber of the House of Commons empties. They put up ministers who aren't even qualified to in the area of specialisation. The last two speeches I've given, we've had a minister who wasn't even the minister to respond to that question. This is not open and free democracy. You know that there's a narrative out there, and if you go against the narrative that the vaccines are safe and effective, which they're not, you get closed down. I'm banned from the... From the 13th of December, when I stood up in the House of Commons and said that the vaccines, we needed to investigate, I've been basically cancelled from the mainstream media.
I'm just going to come in and say you're perfectly entitled to your view. Of course you are, and that is that. At the same time, would you accept that the vaccines did save lives then? Would you accept that?
I don't see that the evidence is out there that would support that... The risk from the vaccine didn't outweigh the benefits to all age groups. In the data that I've presented to the House of Commons, even the most vulnerable, the over 70s, at the best case scenario, they needed 800 boosters to keep one person out of hospital, not acutely out of hospital, whereas one in 800 is at least the average for a severe adverse reaction from the boosters themselves. So there was no benefit even to the most vulnerable group in society. And I explained all that to the Chamber and the House on the 17th of March. No one's been able to rebut those figures because they are scientifically evidenced.
I get what you're saying. I mean, I suppose...
And when all this is investigated, Patrick, if it's investigated independently... I'm afraid, and I really wish I wasn't.
Well, you obviously
I wish I was wrong, but I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, look, you obviously know, Andrew, don't you, that the World Health Organization and a lot of other scientists and doctors would come out and massively dispute what you've said there. And so I suppose I do kind of have to ask, why do you think you're right and they're not?
Because all the people who say that they're safe and effective are on the science and medical side have got a financial interest. You know, 86% of the funding of the Medicines and Healthcare Product Regulatory Agency is from Big Pharma. The Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunisation, the members of that committee, who are supposed to look at the efficacy and safety of vaccines... They had to declare over £1 billion of personal interest in Big Pharma. Our regulators are compromised, Patrick. The people who are giving me the science, they haven't got a pecuniary interest. Those are the figures. Go and check them up for yourself. And who do you think funds the WHO? The biggest funder to the WHO is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and Gavi, both controlled by Bill Gates, who you might remember made an awful lot of money out of mRNA vaccines.
Look, it would obviously, as I'm sure you can understand, Andrew, it goes without saying that many people would dispute the fact that they were compromised, etc. That's your view. They would have a different view. They would dispute that. Why do you feel so passionately about this? This is, let's be honest with you, the hill you have chosen to die on. You could have had a perfectly comfortable gig, no doubt, in the House of Commons until the people of North West Leicestershire decide that they've had enough of you. Why did you decide to, for want of a better phrase, die on this hill?
Because this is about the safety and the health and well-being of children. And when the government... certainly young people are at no risk of dying from COVID-19, but there's a clear risk from the vaccine. It doesn't make scientific sense to expose people. You know, the first rule of medicine is do no harm. Sajid Javid was advised by... There are a number of doctors who are Conservative MPs. I know that he was advised, when he took over from Matt Hancock, not to authorise the experimental vaccines for anyone under 18. He listened to that advice, but he didn't take it, and he authorised them. That was a huge mistake, Patrick. The harms that have been done are not rare. They're common. They're at least one in 800, and it could be down to one in 300, a severe adverse event. That's why we've got excess deaths. Another issue we can't debate in Parliament, no matter how many times I ask for it, you know, is There's 1,000, 2,000 excess deaths a week in this country, and Parliament does not want to debate it. I mean, this just isn't right.
OK, now, look, Andrew, again, I've got to say, I imagine that a lot of the claims that you made there are disputed and the people involved will take a different view, etc. Look, can I just ask a slightly broader question, which is...
excess deaths.
OK, why do you feel as though people aren't willing to stick their head above the parapet and say what you're saying if, as in your view, all of the evidence is there?
The evidence is there, yes. Well, my degree was in biological sciences at Nottingham University a long time ago, and it was in biological sciences with a subsidiary in the first year in biochemistry, and I specialised in genetics and behaviour, and my final dissertation was on viruses and viroids. I probably have more qualifications than most in that place to look at the data. Patrick, in the house behind us, we're traditionally supposed to speak without fear or favour. What I will tell you is that is not true. There is a lot of fear and there's a lot of favour in that house, and that's not democratic. And I try to speak out for the people. And if that's the end of my career, so be it.
Well, all right, Andrew, look, thank you very, very much for your time today. What is the plan going forward? Are you appealing this? Are you just planning on trying to, rejoin the Conservative Party's stand for election?
I will be standing at the next general election. It's only leaked out today. I wasn't planning on this. We've released the documents that we've sent to CCHQ as a rebuttal to their expulsion. It's completely spurious. Patrick, I didn't even have the codes to the Twitter account. I've never had them in any time that I've been an MP. They're not interested. The party aren't interested in that. Quite honestly, it was a kangaroo court. And they got the decision they wanted.
One more on that one. I'm getting a few emails in about this, which is that although for radically different issues, it must be said, Andrew, for radically different issues, people like, for example, Dominic Raab going recently, people are concerned that there might be a little bit of a push against Brexiteers, in a sense. Would you stand by that? Is this... A lot of people, Andrew, look, I've got to be honest with you, a lot of people will massively disagree with what you're saying, including, and I know you will dispute this,
including
the medical community, right? So I've got to say that. That said, though, is there any sense from your perspective that this maybe isn't just about the things that you've said there? Is this maybe a slightly bigger picture that you're not necessarily the kind of person that the Conservative Party want in it as it moves forward? Is that something you wonder about?
I think anybody who challenges the official narrative on anything is now under pressure. That is not free speech, and it's certainly not democracy. I would ask you to have a look at the list of MPs who voted against the government and voted against Plan B in Christmas 21, December 21. I was one of those. I've looked at that list of Conservative MPs who voted against the government about the masks, the mandates on the NHS, and the additional lockdowns, which were all proven to be unnecessary because of the Omicron variant. Look how many of those have either been suspended or attacked by our own party. That's quite considerable. That's what it's all about. I spoke out a long time ago about these measures. The whole pandemic response has led to a huge amount of problems, unnecessary damage to our economy, to the well-being of young people and their mental health, and it's still going on. And until we admit we've made mistakes, the government's made mistakes, we're not going to put anything right. We certainly shouldn't be giving any more powers to the WHO to take over our laws and the administration of pandemics. They've got an appalling track record, and we should be steering well clear of any of that. It's the absolute antithesis of Brexit, taking back control.
Andrew, thank you very much for your time.